He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, professional portfolio manager with Southport Capital. And, you know, it looks like the week is going to be about flat as to where we finished last week. But consider this fact, you know, the S&P was at 666 when this big secular bull market began back in 2003. Where's it at today? 4,400 from 666 to 4,400. And the Dow during that period of time, get this, it's gone from 6,469 to 35,000. Okay, what has been driving the market higher? What will continue to drive the market higher? And what could bring an end to this raging bull that's been going on since 2009? That and more on today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know what? This has been quite a week in the market with earnings. And I've said many times that in the stock market, in the real estate market, it's location, location, location. And in the stock market, it's earnings, earnings, earnings. Stocks follow earnings. You know, just like real estate with on a prime piece of property with an ocean view is going to cost a lot more than an inland property. Well, the stock market, a company with superior earnings growth, superior earnings potential, and prospects is going to do a whole lot better than a company that's not growing their earnings anymore. So today I want to take a little look at this past week of earnings and see where the stars are at the current time. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, professional or a portfolio manager with Southport Capital. Been doing it for 21 years. I tell people I'm like a fishing guide who takes people fishing every day, only I go alone. But I'm in the water every single day. And, you know, so many times in the market, it's what's underneath the surface of the headlines. Oh, you hear the headlines on the evening news. Dow up 600 points, Dow down 100 points. NASDAQ up 100, NASDAQ down 100. That's the headlines. But looking underneath the surface, I see the sectors of the market. I track 66 sectors of the market. Everything from the automobile and the aerospace to the technology to the medical sector. And many days, especially Friday or Thursday of this past week, it was really surprising at how concentrated the action in the market has been recently. You know, there's really only a few of those 66 sectors that are actually really doing well right now. And then, of course, within those sectors, you have the individual stocks. Just because the technology sector is one of the best sectors in the market right now, that doesn't mean every technology stock is doing well. There's leaders and there's laggards within the sector. There's dominant companies and there's companies that just never really seem to get their act together. I mean, look at the semiconductor sector. Compare AMD with Intel. AMD has been scorching up the track, had a wonderful earnings report this past week. Their earnings have been growing exponentially under great leadership, while Intel has been staggering along, a real laggard in the chip industry. Well, we own AMD because the name of the show is Best Stocks Now. I don't like to own mediocre, tired companies that are way beyond their prime. And that is the whole, you know, the whole basis behind my Best Stocks Now stock selection process. And it applies to mutual funds and it applies to ETFs. Well, every 90 days we have something we call earnings season. You know, companies, they have to show their hand. They have to show their cards every 90 days and be held accountable. I've always kind of wished that the government every 90 days would say, here's how much we took in, here's how much we spent, here's how much we spent versus this same quarter last year. But, you know, those numbers kind of get hid a little bit for good reason. They don't really want you to know how much money they're spending in excess of what they take in every quarter. But companies are different. Companies are highly scrutinized. And there's an army of analysts that follow these companies and predict their earnings. They make forecasts. I used to be an analyst, and I used to cover several companies, and we used to put together quarterly estimates, and we used to put together annual estimates, and we would even look out over the next several years and predict what the company's potential was for growing their earnings. And we tried to be as close as we possibly could. And you'll notice, you know, the analysts do a pretty good job. And the companies do a pretty good job of sandbagging the analysts, too. You know, the vast majority, I think we're going to come in at about 85% of the companies that have reported earnings so far this quarter are going to beat their earnings estimates. Which means, you know, 85% of the analysts were wrong by a little bit. Usually not by a lot, by a little bit. But companies just love to beat their earnings estimates. And, you know, they've got a way of sandbagging those analysts and tamping down, keeping those estimates tamped down so they can come and beat. Now, we did have some big beats this past week. AMD would be a good example. And we had some companies that didn't do so well. Amazon, surprising. That is very rare for Amazon to report a quarter that actually, it wasn't so much the past 90 days, but they guided lower for the next 90 days. Now, I think the long term of Amazon is still just fine. It's one of the dominant companies of our time. If not the most dominant company of our time. You know, it's pretty hard to say that they don't kind of have a monopoly here on online buying and whatnot. Well, anyways, they missed their estimates. We had 160 S&P 500 companies report earnings this past week. And like I say, the clip has been about 85%, a clip that we're running at of companies that have beat their estimates. Now, why is this so important? Why are we so highly attuned to these earnings estimate or these earnings reports that come in every quarter? Well, go back to my original thought here that earnings drive the market. And as long as earnings continue to grow at a company, or as long as earnings continue to grow at an index, the index and the company continue to go higher. Now, let's put something else into perspective here. I opened the show by saying the Dow was at 6,469 in 2009. That's when it finally bottomed out during the financial crisis and the last bear market, which took 53% out of the S&P 500. The S&P was at 666. Well, today the Dow is at 35,000, just 12 years later, and the S&P 500 has gone from 666 to 4,400. Why? Because earnings for the S&P 500 have gone from $53 per share back in 2009, we're going to hit almost $250 per share. Not this year, next year. I think we're at about 190, almost 200 this year. But that growth in earnings have gone up fivefold, and the market has gone up about six or sevenfold along the way. What will finally bring this raging bull that's been going on since 2009 to a halt? Well, when those earnings start to peak, we're always on watch for that, believe me, and they start to go downwards. That's what happened in 07. Actually, it happened in 06 and 07, and that was kind of a warning sign of what was to come in 08 and 09. So I am keenly glued to earnings And in my newsletter every week, which I've been producing for the last 21 years, I am also a market timer. I'm a market timer who's been right about the market since 2009. But there will come a time when I see the signs out there that the U.S. is headed back into a recession. That's the way it works. We go through cycles in the economy. And there's earnings expectations starting to be lowered for the S&P 500. And that will lead eventually to the next bear market. So we want to be on our watch for that. But in the meantime, you got to make hay while the sun is shining. The sun continues to shine on Wall Street, but we're after those areas where the sun is shining the brightest. Get 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter where I try to point this out every week at GundersonCapital.com. 2 free weeks of my weekly newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Well, you know, everybody listening to my show is in a different stage of life, a different net worth, a different path to retirement, or you're already retired, you have a different risk tolerance, etc. Some people are very, very aggressive. Some people are extremely conservative, and everything in between, obviously. So as a portfolio manager, you know, I've developed several portfolios from the plain vanilla most conservative. That's our individual bond fund that has done quite nicely since we started it, to our more aggressive portfolios, and of course everything in between, dividend portfolios and you know, large cap growth, and I also do a very ultra growth portfolio. But one thing I think we can all agree on, even though we all come from different stages in our life and different, you know, different circumstances, we want the best, okay? We want to have the very best, whatever our portfolios consist of. And I often use an analogy of baseball. They want the best players, especially as they approach the playoffs. You know, Friday's the trading deadline here, this past Friday, or today, Friday, and we're going to have all these teams scrambling to try to put the 25 best players on the field before they go into the playoffs and hopefully some into the World Series, okay? Well, you know what? As a money manager, I want to put the best dividend-paying stocks in portfolios, the best ultra-growth stocks in portfolios, etc. And what does it take for me, after 21 years of observing the markets and stocks, what are the characteristics of the very best ones? Well, I'm going to use an example here, okay? I talked about it yesterday. There's a stock that went public yesterday that's getting a lot of hoopla. It's already valued at $32 billion, Robinhood Markets, which was in the news earlier this year, quite a bit of news. Most of it bad, I suppose, with the GameStop and the Reddit crowd and running up stocks and, you know, smashing these short sellers and whatnot. But at the end of the day, Robinhood is it's a discount broker. And discount brokers are kind of a dime a dozen these days. It's not like Robinhood has some kind of new, you know, breakthrough technology or anything like that. And they enter into a very competitive industry, and you've got a lot of players in that industry. I mean, the Goldman Sachs's of the world, and the KKR's, and the big players, Blackstone, BlackRock. They cater to very wealthy people. They have a wide variety of offerings. They're very profitable, and they've been growing their earnings for many, many years. One of our biggest holdings right now is Blackstone. We own that in our large cap growth portfolio and in our dividend and growth portfolio. The symbol is BX. and it's been very good to us. But they have much higher profit margins than a Robinhood, who really is aiming their business and they want the clientele. They're really going after the younger investor, the millennials, I suppose, Gen X, whatever. And they're going to face a very tough time with very thin profit margins and trying to get really big earnings and consistent earnings growth over the years. I think they'll have an uphill battle. So, you know, there's an example of a sector of the market, the financial sector. There's dominant companies that have powerful earnings and grow their earnings year after year. There's everything in between, and then you've even got a new entrant like Robinhood. And even the IPO was met with less than a real enthusiastic greeting. It opened up at $38 per share yesterday, and it went down to $34, so not too exciting there. For me, a best stock in any category, the earnings is number one, okay? I've been, you know, emphasizing how important earnings are and the growth of earnings. If you own a business, you know that you need to be making money. You need to be growing those earnings. If you've been stagnant in the same for over the last 10 years, you know, your company is not as valuable to a suitor as a company that's been consistently growing and expanding and building and dropping that money to their bottom line. Well, the same thing is true in the stock market. You've got companies today that at one time were great growth stocks, the Ciscos of the world, the IBMs of the world, the Philip Morrises of the world, the AT&Ts, okay? These are no longer growth stocks. They're basically dividend payers now with very little, if any, growth in earnings. Your growth stocks of today are much different than the growth stocks back at that time. We have social media today. We have the cloud today. We have autonomous cars. We have our telephones doing about everything. You know, our record collection, our appointments, our calendar, and yes, it is a phone, our weather, and I mean, just about everything is on your phone nowadays. So today's growth stocks are a lot different from the growth stocks when I first got in the business, you know, 21 years ago. And it changes along the way, okay, which brings up another point. I'm an active investor. That doesn't mean I'm day trading and whipping in and out of stocks, but as times change, as the economy changes, there's a lot of things. As a pandemic comes along, you kind of have to be an active investor. And yet most of the industry, my industry that I'm a part of, has gone to this passive method of investing, where they put you into a bunch of ETFs based on your age and let you sit and sit and sit. And it doesn't really matter what the world's doing, what interest rates are doing, what the economy's doing. You're in that computer model based on your age. Well, I believe that there's more that goes into it than just your age. What about the interest rate cycle? If we saw just a glimpse of a big interest rate rise earlier this year, it wasn't caused by the Fed. It was caused by the market, kind of went into panic mode. And as those interest rates rose really quickly back in February and March of this year, it really took the bond funds down, and it really took the high-tech, high PE stocks down. And if it would have continued, you know, to sit there and be passive and to do nothing doesn't make much sense to me. And at the same time, if we start to go into another recession, another bear market, we will. It's just a matter of when, not if. Then I just can't see sitting there and doing nothing. I'm a veteran of two really severe bear markets. 2000, the tech crash, when we saw the NASDAQ go down 79%. Of course, the financial crisis went down 53%. Well, right now the sun is shining. It's been shining since 2009. and we continue to be invested in the market in what we consider to be the best stocks now. What are they? Well, you can see all my portfolios each week in my newsletter and how they're doing. Go to GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Get 2 free weeks of my newsletter. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Southport Capital. Well, the Dow was 6,469 back in 2009, I think March of 2009. 6,469. Where is it today? 35,000. Why? Well, earnings finally bottomed out in 2009, and those earnings have been growing ever since. Eventually, they're going to top out, and they're going to start to recede those earnings and those earnings expectations. That's even more important, earnings expectations. That's why we have to keep a keen eye on those earnings expectations going forward. But my question to you is, as the Dow has risen from 6,469 to 35,000, have you participated in it? Has your portfolio grown fivefold or something like that, five to sixfold since then? Well, is it too late to get in? You know, I'm asked that question all the time. I was asked that question in 2010. After the market started to take off from the bottom, the trough in 09. Is it too late to get in? I was asked that question in 2012. Is it too late to get in? I was asked that question every single year. And I've also asked that question about some of the great stocks of our time. Gee, I wish I would have got into it, you know, when it was a dollar a share. And now it's $1,000 a share. Is it too late to go in? Well, you could continue to say, is it too late to get in, or you can watch the market continue to climb. I mean, based on the numbers that are out there right now on the earnings expectations front, this market can still go higher. It's not a cheap market. You have to be much more of a stock picker or ETF picker, whichever the case may be, and avoid the really high flyers that kind of led the market last year. This year is a little bit more about quality. And, you know, the first thing you have to answer is, do I want to be in the market or not? That's called the macro outlook. Well, the macro outlook has been good for the last 12 years. And I publish my macro outlook as a guy who's in the market every single day. I publish it every Saturday, come rain or shine, in my newsletter. And I've been right about, other than a few times where I've grown cautious on the market along the way, we had a couple very quick bear markets, very quick. We had one last year right around COVID time. And I said at that point in time, about March of last year, I said, it's time to go all in. The market has already factored in COVID, and it's looking down the road 2 years from now. The market was right. The market had a fantastic year last year. Well, the question is it too late to get in? Well, it's all I can say is, as of now, no, it's not too late to get in. It's a matter of what you get into and have somebody watching your backside, because there will be another bear or another recession out there. We just don't know when. But we watch that very, very closely here. I spend 3 hours every single day before the market opens researching it, getting ready for my weekday radio show, and for my job as a professional money manager. And I look at all of the different little streams and tributaries that run into the big river called the economy and the markets every single day. Right now, I can tell you the best place to be is in quality growth, quality, good growth. I'm not talking about 3-4% growers. I'm not talking about the AT&Ts of the world. I know a lot of people like to chase big dividends, but you want growth. What's going to drive a stock higher? Earnings growth. Well, it just so happens that a lot of those stocks continue to come from the tech industry. You may not like them. You may not like the Googles and the Microsofts and the Facebooks and the Amazons of the world and the Apples, but they continue to have the most consistent high profit growth out there. The market right now tends to favor the large cap companies once again, I guess the so-called the FANG stocks. But there's a lot of other stocks that are in the next ring, okay, outside. If you put FANG as a ring in the middle and those six or seven great big giant tech stocks, well, you can go the next ring out, and there's a lot of big winners there. We own ASM Lithography, which has been a very good winner for us. We own AMD, which is one of the best large-cap growth stocks in the market right now. And that's what the market kind of is favoring. It's a much different year from last year. You know, and I would say it kind of comes in and out, but the reflation stocks, the market's a little worried about inflation, and it should be. And that's been pretty good for a lot of the commodity-related stocks, such as Vail. We own Vail, V-A-L-E. We own SQM, which is a big lithium producer for the electric car battery stocks. We've owned Freeport-McMoRan. We don't currently own it. But those are some of the big areas of the market. As far as the bond market goes, well, the saying is if you're 70 years old, you should have 70% of your money in the bond market. Well, okay, but what happens when interest rates start to rise, which they inevitably will at some point in time? Right now you've got the 10-year down around 1.3, which is very abnormal. And at some point you're going to start heading back to a more normal 3 or 4% 10-year. That's going to wreak havoc in the bond market. So, you know, you can't just put your 70% in bonds because you're 70 years old and then go to sleep on it and forget about it. I believe in some active management along the way. Dividend stocks have been a good place to be this year. Personally, I would much rather have a smaller dividend like a Microsoft dividend or an Apple dividend than the 6 or 7% that a Philip Morris or an AT&T offer. But what the others offer is growth, okay? I'd rather have growth and capital appreciation on top of a smaller dividend. When you add the two up, that's called total return. And I think you're going to get much, much better total return out of a grower that pays a smaller dividend than a non-grower that pays a big dividend. Some of the areas that are not good places to be in 2021, well, you know what? I've been watching the emerging markets submerge. Why? China. China has gone after their own. The regulation crackdown going on in China has killed stocks like Alibaba and Tencent Holdings and JD.com. And unfortunately, China is a big part of the emerging markets, a big part of the emerging markets. That's a very bad place to be right now in the markets. As an active investor, I have very little, well, I don't have any exposure right now to the emerging markets at all. Even though there's been some great opportunities there in the past, I've made some good money in those stocks, Alibaba and JD and Tencent. But right now, I would avoid them like the plague. China has lost a heck of a lot of credibility here, and I don't know that they're going to get it back. I'm seeing institutional investors, professional money managers like myself, hedge fund guys fleeing, running, getting as far away from Chinese stocks as they possibly can. That's one of the places I wouldn't be invested in right now. It's also been a pretty tough year for the smaller stocks here in the U.S., the small caps. The micro caps, even though there's good value there, you have to be really, really selective there. So, you know, I think I think investments right now should be heavily weighted towards very high quality, best growth stocks that you can absolutely find. Now, I have a ranking system that ferrets those stocks out. It separates the men from the boys or the wheat from the chaff. I rank 6,000 different stocks And it's an app that I use that I invented. It's beststocksnowapp.com, beststocksnowapp.com. You can look up the stocks that you own, the mutual funds that you own, the ETFs that you own, and you can tell whether or not you're in a bunch of mediocre stuff. The market's full of mediocre stuff, or whether you're in some of the best stuff, okay? And that ranking is very, very useful for me as a money manager to make my days more efficient, more economical. I could cut right to the chase, get right to the fishing grounds, rather than searching and searching and searching and searching a very large ocean. Now let's get even more specific than that. Let's look at the sectors of the market. There's 66 different sectors. That's my own system. And, you know, it ranks everything from the technology, aerospace, medical, oil and gas, financials. You have your choice. I'm just telling you right now, the action is pretty much centered in technology, the medical sector, the financial sector, and a little bit of the commodities, and that those are the hot spots. You can see that in my newsletter, along with the best stocks within those sectors, by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. We'll send you 2 free weeks of the Best Stocks Now weekly newsletter. We'll be right back for the final segment of the show.
You got to know where you want to go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. And in this segment, I'm going to feature, I think, the stock of the week. Okay, and then I'm going to have a runner-up. And first, I'm going to take you through the funnel that I funnel the market and investments through. Number one, well, we got to have a growing economy, a good economy, and earnings have to be on the rise at the S&P 500, those aggregate earnings for 500 companies. Well, the economy, you know, there's some talk of stagflation, there's talk of inflation, there's talk of tapering and whatnot, but all in all, you saw the GDP, even though the GDP missed, we are continuing a fairly robust economy. The consumer seems to be confident. The consumer is spending money. Just go to your local favorite restaurant on a Friday night. I am based in the Mount Pleasant, Charleston area, very vibrant area this time of year, especially with tourism and the great fishing we have here. It's hard to get into a lot of the top restaurants. They're understaffed. In addition to that, but the consumer doesn't seem to be having any problem. The macro outlook of the market, while the market is expensive right now, it's still not too late to go get in, even though it's been going up since 2009. But make sure you have a money manager that's active and watches things along the way on a daily basis and starts to make some changes when things start to fall apart in the economy. And in the earnings picture, okay? So right now we still have a green light. Number two, asset allocation. You know, where are we going to go with that money? Well, you know what? The bond market's a little dodgy right now. I wouldn't own bond funds myself. I think there's a much better chance that interest rates go higher from here than lower, and that's not good for bond funds. But I have nothing against owning individual bonds of great stocks of today. We own about 12 in our bond fund. Netflix would be a good example. We own the Netflix bond. We've made a lot of money in that thing. And if you own those individual bonds to maturity, obviously you're not subject to the fluctuations in interest rates. Most of the duration of our bonds, 7 years probably is the average. All right. The best asset class continues to be large cap U.S. stocks. All right, forget emerging markets. You can have a little bit of small and mid caps mixed in, but this is a market that is much different from last year's market, which was a much more speculative market. This is more of a market that's demanding really high quality growth. Okay, I ferret that out through my Best Stocks Now app. I want growth, I want value, and I want good momentum, all right? Then the sectors of the market. As we were going into one of the breaks, I said, you know, the best sectors in the market right now continue to be tech That's where really reliable growth is. The medical sector also very good right now. The commodity sector doing pretty well right now. It has its days, but I think the fear of inflation is really helping. And there's a lot of pent-up demand for commodities, and there's a shortage. I especially like steel, the steel stocks right now. We have some exposure in iron ore. And lastly, the financials. They've been doing really, really well. We own BX, Blackstone, and some other financials that have done quite well for us. So now let's get into some individual stocks. I'm going to give you two examples. I'm going to call the stock of the week AMD. Just sensational. This has been the stock of the decade, really. If you look at it, it was a $1 stock here recently. And now AMD is a $106 stock. It was $1 in 2016. In 5 years, it's gone from $1 to $106, and they've been eating Intel's lunch. Okay, the semiconductor sector, I'm sure you've heard, there's a shortage of semiconductors, a lot of car assembly lines have come to a halt until they can get those semiconductors. Big, big industry, one of the winning industries of the last couple of decades. We own several in that sector. I mentioned ASML, which is a great big semiconductor equipment maker out of the Netherlands. AMD is out of the Bay Area. I'm going to call that the stock of the week. We own it. We recently wrote it up. We write one article per week for Seeking Alpha, one of the biggest websites out there for financials. We're ranked in the top 4% of all the people on Seeking Alpha writing for them. That's based on our performance of the picks that we write about. We wrote about AMD just a few weeks ago. Look at the week that AMD had. Now, what's it have going for it? You can still make sense of the current valuation. The momentum and performance has been phenomenal. And the safety of the stock, well, it's a large cap tech stock, okay? It's sitting in a garden spot right now. We own, in our portfolios, we own about 25 positions in each portfolio, just like a baseball roster. You know, I don't use sabermetrics. I use gundermetrics, trying to find those very best. They have to be quality. They have to have growth. Great growth. They've got to have a valuation that makes sense, and they have to have a momentum or performance going for them, a good stock chart. My runner-up would be Charter Communications, CHTR, which is a very cheap, large-cap stock. You know, they're a cable internet operator. It has good momentum. They reported earnings on Friday. They blew past their estimates. The stock is performing very well. It's been a good stock for us. These are not recommendations. These are examples of the kind of stocks that we put into our portfolios. And each portfolio we call best stocks now, whether it's an ultra-growth portfolio, whether it's a dividend portfolio. We're trying to put the best 25 on the field at any given point in time. The other thing about the management that I do is I'm unconstrained. I don't have to be fully invested. I can hedge with some of the inverse ETFs along the way if I feel like it's necessary. I could be 100% in cash if I wanted to, if I didn't like the outlook of the market going forward. So we have tools for the individual investor that does it himself, him or herself. We have the weekly newsletter. I have a live trading subscription at GundersonCapital.com. I have the app that I invented, which is BestStocksNowApp.com, but I'm also a fee-based money manager. And Southport Capital has offices all over America. There's probably one near you. But you can start by getting the Gunderson Best Stocks Now newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. And if you would like to talk to an advisor at Southport Capital, you can call 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.